Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Greenwood, and as always again, I'm here with my good friend Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
Hello, Michael.
Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Talk normal. Talk normal.
You know, as the great Bob Ross once said, there's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend.
I think there's a lot of right problems with that, actually. We don't need to get into that, but I think there's a lot
everything,
of problems.
Everything is just great.
If I saw you going up to a tree and just having a conversation or having a picnic with the tree, I would say that's probably, you should probably get that checked out. Like go to therapy or something like that.
I'm doing just great.
Okay. All right. All right. Cool. Let's move on.
Everything's good.
Yeah. So it's been what? Close to 2 months since we've done this. Almost.
It has.
We did it like the beginning of July. Our schedules have been absolutely nuts with stuff. That is why I haven't even, I'll be completely honest, there's just been some stuff I haven't been able to, like, some people have been like, oh, did you see that? I'm like, no, what happened? Like, I just, like, someone, I think, mentioned, like, yeah, the Little League Baseball Classic's happening. I was like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. That happened last night. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, it's just, it's been so crazy with how our schedules align and everything. So, and thankfully, we were able to get one in right now for everyone. So a lot's happened. We're not going to cover everything that has happened in the last 2 months. There's just too much. Trade deadline, All-Star game. All-Star game was fine. Home run derby was fine. Nothing too crazy. Trade deadline, fine. Nothing super crazy. I mean, the Devers trade happened before the deadline. That was before the All-Star break, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, that just, nothing really super crazy about the deadline. What are you laughing at?
I'm just really happy right now.
No, you're not. Stop it. Yes. Stop acting like that. Why are you acting weird?
It's all really good. Just continue with
Are you on drugs?
Just continue.
I know you had a dentist appointment and an eye appointment today. Are you on drugs?
Just continue with your talk.
What is going on?
Just continue with your talk, Michael.
Continue with my talk?
Yeah.
No, you talk.
I'm in a state of zen, Michael. Everything's peaceful and tranquil in my life. And especially in my sports life. Betting and baseball, I see that's the next thing on our bullet point. Would you like to discuss that?
What's going on? You're acting weird. Okay. Yeah. The Cleveland Guardians are what is it? These two guys. What are their names? Oh, Clase. Yeah. Duh. I am so tired right now. Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. They've both been placed on paid leave. I don't think they should be put on paid leave for this. They're betting on baseball. And they are under investigation for apparently betting on like the throwing like the first pitch as a ball. They have a higher statistic of throwing the first pitch of a ball. So the money lines or whatever, I don't even know the terms for betting with it. But apparently that was something that caused a red flag. And you can't mess with money because if you mess with money, that's when MLB, you can do all the domestic violence, you can do all the other cheating that you can get away with. But when it comes to money or steroids, baseball's like, yeah, no, can't do that. So they've been on leave and it kind of ruined Class A's trade market because he was probably going to be traded. And then that caused other people have to pay higher price tags. So I don't know about you, but I think they should just ban sports betting in general. I'm at that point.
Well, Governor DeWine of Ohio wants to get rid of proposition bets after the incident that took place.
Yeah. I'm completely fine with that.
We've discussed it before. When you open the door for vices such as sports betting, it's everything else is going to follow.
Yeah.
And the consequences will inevitably include the possibility of players betting on the games and affecting the outcome of games for monetary benefits.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen it in the NBA too, where players are throwing games and getting suspended too. So it's not like it's just one sport or one guy, it's happening. And it's probably happening more than we think because these guys are like, you know what? My contract's not guaranteed or something like that. You know, I can get a little bit of money for someone else that with it. It's just, it's a joke. I'm tired of it. And there's even Little League, the Little League Baseball Association had to make an announcement to not bet on these games. And it's really sad that we have come to a point where people are upset that they can't bet on 12-year-old baseball games. That's a joke. I know this is America and freedom and all that, but that's a joke. It just grinds my gears. I don't know. You got any more to say about it?
No.
Yeah, I'm just tired of it. I'm really tired of it.
But I will say, I really believe that if you practice enough, you could paint the Mona Lisa with a 2-inch brush.
What? What? What is going on? Whatever. I have no idea what that means. What? Say that again?
I really believe that if you practice enough, you can paint the Mona Lisa with a 2-inch brush.
Well, here's the thing. I paint with a brush about the same size. There's no way if I had enough practice I could paint that.
No?
No.
Believe in yourself.
Like no, absolutely not. No. I can believe in myself, but I'm also going to be realistic with it. There's just no way. I also wouldn't want to paint the Mona Lisa. It's a dumb painting anyway.
Whatever you say.
What are you talking like that? Why are you talking like that? What is going on? Is your mic bad? Is my mic bad or something like that? What's going on? All right. There's too much to cover in our introduction right now for how long we've been going on. But that was the one thing that I really wanted to cover in just more introduction of it. But betting on baseball should be banned. Let us know what you think. If you think betting in baseball should be banned, or you know what, do you think that you're on the opposite end and you really want to bet on 12-year-old baseball players? You really want to lose money on these little kids' dreams? That's what you want to bet on? Go ahead. Let me know.
Whatever makes you happy.
That's not true. Shut up. Anyway, let's move on to, I think you have some trivia for me.
I do. So in the spirit of Little League, not Little League betting, but Little League World Series stuff going on right now, there have been 15 players who have played in the Little League and Major League World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how many you could possibly name.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do terribly at this because there's only... Okay, all right. Cody Bellinger's one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Todd Frazier one?
I don't see him on this list. All right. I thought I saw him somewhere.
Gary Sheffield?
Yep.
Okay. Those are the only three that I can remember off the top of my head. All right. Let's see. Did Mookie do it?
No.
Okay. Not Kershaw. It was one of the pitchers. Did Verlander do it?
Sorry, I gotta go back. No.
No? All right, so I've got Bellinger and Sheffield.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I know Todd Frazier was big in the college world.
I should clarify. It's Little League and Major League World Series.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who's in the World Series and with it.
That's why Todd Frazier wouldn't be on this
list.
Yeah,
he's never in the World Series. Gonna start naming pitchers with it. Jameson Taillon?
Nope.
No. He was in Major League World Series. What am I talking about? No, he was in last year with the Yankees, wasn't he? No, he was with the Cubs. Kerry Wood?
Nope.
No.
There's one who's kind of like a journeyman sort of player.
Journeyman sort of player. Rich Hill?
No.
Edwin Jackson?
No.
Bartolo Colon?
He is a pitcher.
Journeyman pitcher. Gosh.
He's the kind of guy who, like, one year will, like, have a 18-win season, and the next year he'll, like, break even.
Patrick Corbin?
No.
Oh. He's not journeyman. This is tough. I don't think this is okay. This is really tough.
That's fine.
This is really tough. I don't know that many. It's one of those things where like they show the stat once. They're like, oh, he was in the Little League World Series, yeah. And then that's it. Like I remember Cody Bellinger, and I remember Todd Frazier, and then Gary Sheffield. Was Ken Griffey in it?
No.
I can't. I can only remember the American. I can't remember any of the Japan teams or.
You gave it a good shot.
Oh, thank you. I tried.
Getting 3 out of 15. So, Book Powell.
Book Powell. Nope.
Dwight Gooden.
Ah.
Derek Bell.
Okay.
Charlie Hayes.
Nope.
Jason Marquis.
Jason Marquis. Okay. Yeah.
Jason Varitek.
Oh. Okay.
Yasmero Petit.
Oh, okay.
Lance Lynn. That was the guy I was talking
about. Yeah, no, okay.
And Michael Conforto. And then a couple, like, there's a Carney Lansford. Don't remember him. Jim Barbieri from the 50s and 60s.
Say that again.
Jim Barbieri.
One more time.
Jim Barbieri.
No. Okay. And who else?
I think I mentioned them all, right?
Okay.
Rick Wise, did I say him?
No, you didn't.
Derek Bell,
yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I would have only gotten Marquis and Lance Lynn, and I would not have guessed Dwight Gooden, and I would not have gotten Yasmero Petit. But that's pretty cool list to be a part of. Now, who on the list has won the World Series and the Little League World Series? Is there anyone that has? Bellinger has won a World Series. Did he win the Little League World Series?
Well, Conforto, wasn't he on the Royals?
The what? The Royals? No.
Oh, no, he was on the Mets.
He's on the Mets. Yeah.
Bellinger.
Did Bellinger win a Little League World Series? Let's see.
I don't know if he won the Little
League World Series. Did Cody Bellinger win a Little League World Series? There we go. Let's see. The sixth option. Yes. It's a big yes on Google. Yes. Wait, no. It says World Series win. Okay, maybe not Little League World Series. Let me check. Okay, they reached the Little League World Series. Doesn't look like they won.
They were eliminated in the semifinals.
Darn, Cody. Come on. You got to give me good content here. Ugh. Thing is, I put it in Google. Did Cody Bellinger win the Little League World Series? And literally, yes. It's like, look at it. Yes. It's a big yes. I've never seen that from Google. Oh, that's interesting. He was probably high during the time, too, anyway.
Well, Google AI isn't always accurate. I mean, like
that wasn't Google AI.
Or isn't that what the search thing is at the top one that generates a little bit?
Normally, but that's not, doesn't say anything AI related, does it?
No, I guess.
And it doesn't say AI overview or anything. We're having, come on, Google. What is this?
Well, because we were looking up Yankees, Phillies, and Mets players that all played for them.
Yes.
And there's players that Google AI generated that were not,
yeah,
like they didn't play for all three of those.
That's true. Yeah. Harrison Bader started off a conversation on Saturday night of players that have played for the Phillies, Mets, and Yankees. And how many were there? 18?
I believe so.
Yeah.
According to Baseball Reference.
I think we got 5 or 6 that I got, I think. I got, Bader was one. Jay Bruce was another. Who else was there?
Bobby
Abreu, Ricky Lede,
Corey Lytle.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. And then a lot of guys I wouldn't have guessed.
Chan Ho Park.
That's right. I totally forgot Chan Ho Park was on the 09 Phillies.
And pitched for them in the World Series.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I was a lot younger. I was in freshman year of college, high school. Yeah, a long time ago. But, yeah. All right. I didn't do the best on trivia right now with it. But I think it's just funny how, because I was talking with my one friend at Ultimate yesterday about this. Shout out to Garrett. He was like, you know, we just started talking baseball on the sideline during a timeout. And I tell you how we just started naming random Yankees and Phillies and Mets that have all played together. And it's just something simple like that that just is fun for guys to do. It's just, yo, that's so cool. Like, when we got talking about Ricky Ledé, I almost wanted to look up Ricky Ledé highlights because I know he hit a bomb in Minnesota one year. I was like, yeah, he has like a pinch hitter. I was like, that was awesome. Why is that a core memory for me that I remember Ricky Ledé, a guy that is no one remembers in baseball? I mean, he was a utility player pretty much, but I remember him hitting a long home run in Minnesota. Why do I remember that? Why can't I remember the better things in life? Like the little, this is a little thing, but why do I remember this?
Why do I remember Andrew Jones saying a home run as a Yankee?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Or no, I think there is a good reason why. I was at the game where they hit 3 grand slams. But mixed in with that, he hit a home run at the end of the game. That was such a weird game. they put Jorge Posada at first base, like at the end, because they scored 22 runs. But it was fun.
Yeah.
It
was fun. I mean, baseball's, I think I've been saying this a little bit recently. Sports are weird. Like playing, seeing baseball, you know what? We're going to have this round ball. I'm going to throw it harder as I can. You hit it, but you don't just hit it. You have to round bases and we can get you out. Like, it's just a weird thing. But if you hit it over the fence, you get to go around for free.
Yeah.
But if you miss a base, you're out. Like, it's just, and then this person tags you. All the stupid little rules in every little sport. It's just weird. Ultimate Frisbee is a really dumb sport too. I play it, but it's a really dumb sport. I don't know. It's like I was talking on the sideline. It was like, I love playing it, but it's just a dumb sport that I'm just chasing around a piece of plastic with it. I mean, it's just weird. Football's a weird sport. Basketball's a dumb sport. Basketball's a dumb sport. I was just going to bounce a ball all the way down the court and put it through a hoop, and we're going to go back and forth all day for 2 hours. Just dumb. There's my rant. All right. Are we ready to move on to our main section here?
I believe so, Michael.
So one thing that has been going on this season and now recently for my team, Kev's team has been going through it a little bit. New York Yankees have not lived up expectations, and they've been going through a lot of just really dumb things that have happened. Really?
What are you talking about?
Stop talking like that. Just talk normal.
There's a reason.
No, there's not. Yes, no, stop it. Stop it.
Yes. We need.
No. Anyway, so I'll set the stage. All right. So for our junk ball section, Kev is going to have a therapy session for the Yankees. And I, because Zach Wheeler is done for the season, I don't care what they say, timetable for return, Zach Wheeler is done for the season and the season's over, I'm going to have a therapy session for the Phillies. Because everyone was believing in the Phillies last week, and then all of a sudden everything hit the fan and no one ever believes me because they didn't do anything at the deadline. Anyway, we're going to have a therapy session for the Yankees and for the Phillies. Would you like to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Let it all out.
Well, a part of me wants to, but I feel like I've been doing too much of that lately. There's been a lot going on. I just want some calm and peace. But this team is a team of mistakes. But as Bob Ross said, I won't go there. Ever make mistakes in life? Let's make them birds. Yeah, they're birds now. I feel like, when I think of the Bob Ross equivalent of a baseball manager, it's probably Aaron Boone. Because all he talks about is how great things are, how they're a great team, that it's right in front of us. It's the whole meme that everybody sees on social media. And that's really where the problem is right now. Because they have the talent on the field. On paper, you should be seeing the lineup with Judge and Stanton and Bellinger and Goldschmidt. And the rotation isn't the best ever, but, you know, you have Fried, who started off the season really hot. Rodon, who, I mean, he's a little inconsistent, but he's been doing generally okay. But this, if you watch a game with the Yankees this year, you'll see that the main problem with them is that they are just not a good fundamental baseball team. They can't throw to first base. They can't run between first and second. They drop balls at home. They drop balls in center. They drop balls at third base. Jason Dominguez, trying to watch him play left field is...
A highlight reel every time.
It's a highlight reel every time. The bullpen has been awful. And they did bring in some guys to help... I rectify that to a degree, but it hasn't. It's been a bit hit and miss. Bednar has been good. He's been able to close games, but I don't ever want to see Devin Williams close another game for this team ever again. They delegated him to, like, pitching the sixth and seventh inning. Oh,
man.
So, like, that's what happened on Sunday. He pitched the fifth inning of that game, and he did well.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to do it before when he was struggling, like he was doing okay, and then they moved him back to that spot where he really needed to step up, and he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not made to be here. Not everybody is, you know.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And maybe you can argue that the Mets broke him in the postseason, but I don't think he could be broke that badly.
Yeah.
Then there's the injuries. You know, losing Schmidt for the rest of the year is tough. That's another man out of the rotation. You got Heel back, but he needs to really get back up to speed before he pitches well again. I mean, he did okay the other day, but before that, he did not do well in his first start.
No.
Stroman, they finally got rid of. My goodness gracious. I was fortunate enough to say... Oh, I forgot to mention, I went to the Yankees-Phillies game at Yankee Stadium. I'll save that for last. But I'll just say, as a bookmark, that was his last appearance as a Yankee. And I told the Yankee fan next to me, I'm like, I don't want to see this guy pitch for his team again after what I saw him do against the Phillies. And he did it. So give credit to the front office for that.
Yankees and Mets legend, yeah. Marcus Stroman.
Yeah. Not Phillies yet.
Not Phillies yet. No. Not, but maybe. We'll maybe. See.
He's on the market. He's a free agent. The Yankees had a 7-game lead at the end of May. They're now 5.5 games back. Now, a big part of the reason why is because they've won 5 of their last 6. It was worse than that. It was like 8 games. And they've been playing layups in AKA the Twins, who, you know, if there's one thing you could count on, like in terms of like a result, is the Yankees beating the Twins. Let's be real.
You still got to beat them. You still got to beat them.
You still got to beat them. And the games weren't easy, of course, except for one, but they got them. And then they swept the Cardinals, which we called the mid-series.
Yeah.
Because these teams are very, very mid right now. The Yankees are playing, like, at their best mid-baseball, and the Cardinals are right, well, they're a couple games below 500 right now.
Yeah.
But they started the series at 500, so they are as mid as you can get.
Yeah. Fox had them as on the Saturday game, and the only reason why they had them as the Saturday game is because there's two big fan bases.
Yeah.
That's it. But the two teams are so average right now with it.
Yeah. They need to do something about this coaching staff and the mentality, and I just don't feel like that's going to change. If they make the playoffs, if they make this run, like, maybe this is, like, winning 5 of 6 is going to make them start to, like, get going again. But I wonder if that's just going to save everyone's jobs again, and then we just go back to what we do next year. Yeah. Because, like, oh, hey, you know, we had a rough middle of the season like we always do. It's a Yankees thing now in June, July, August. They just are a terrible baseball team. And then late August, September, you know, they just turn it on. And they have a very easy schedule at the end of the year. They got the Orioles. They have the White Sox in, like, almost consecutive series to end the season. So, I mean, The division's not totally out of reach right now. The way that the Blue Jays are playing, and they're the best. They're one of the best teams in baseball right now.
Yeah, they have the best record in the American League.
Yeah, them and Detroit.
Detroit's a game behind, I think.
Let's see.
I think.
They both have 73 wins, but the Tigers have one more loss.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so yeah, so Toronto hasn't played again. Yeah. They played one less game.
Yeah, so my prediction of Toronto ending up in last didn't exactly pan out, but
I also picked Devin Williams as probably your best acquisition too. So that was bad.
And Pittsburgh to be in second.
That's not true. Okay. I said I didn't pick them to pick the playoffs, all right? I said that they would be improved. They are terrible. They are absolutely awful. Yeah,
I will be going to what will be probably one of the great series of all time this weekend, Rockies and Pirates.
Yeah.
Maybe Skeens will pitch. That'll give a little bit of entertainment.
Yeah.
But in short, they won 5 of 6 lately, but they're not a good baseball team. They need. I'll be convinced maybe a little more if they play someone real, to be frank with you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have the Rays coming in for 2 games, but after that, it's going to be a huge, huge series against the Red Sox. But the Red Sox have owned them this year, so if they can get some payback against the Red Sox, then they'll be in a decent spot, especially since they're fighting with the Red Sox now in the wild card.
Ooh, maybe some good TV.
It could be, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They're the Sunday night game. They'll probably be the Fox game, too, I would imagine.
4-hour game.
Yankees, Red Sox are always on nationally televised.
Yeah, always.
And, yeah, they're always 4-hour games, even with the pitch clock. Those games take forever.
Yeah.
But they did get Judge back, which is a positive.
He's gonna be moving back to the field eventually, right?
Eventually.
Okay.
They're trying to work him back. They've had Stan play the field, but Stan's been playing awesome baseball.
Yeah.
He's been great. I want to get angry at this team, which is that's why I've been kind of like doing like the whole everything's great thing and having this peaceful calm thing, but I feel like that's too easy. It's too easy to just like get riled up and angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to take the middle ground. But I will say the one thing just to close this. I went to the Yankees-Phillies game, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago. And I think the Phillies went up like 9-3 at one point in the seventh inning. And you just hear, starting with one lone voice, you hear the E... A, G, L, E, S, Eagles. And then I heard it again in the subway. E, A, G, L, E, S, Eagles. And I've never felt so... There are a few times I felt so defeated as a sports fan in my life. Having to hear the Eagles chant at Yankee Stadium was a low. That was a low.
Yeah.
And it just made me really not like the Eagles right now. I know we talk about the Eagles and how they're cool and stuff, but man, my hatred has gone to new heights after that. No offense to all my Eagles friends, you know, who are Eagles fans. Nothing personal with them, but as a whole, they are just, I hold them in utter contempt, and I'll leave it at that.
It's funny because we're not even rivals. Like, Packers and Eagles are not rivals. But here, I can understand hearing another team's football team at your home stadium for a different sport.
Yeah.
I can understand that being a frustrating experience.
Yeah. Well, in the last year, I had to watch the Packers lose to them the first game of the year. Then watch the Eagles beat them in the playoffs. And now I have to go to Yankee Stadium and hear the Eagles chant. So that gives you a little context as to why I feel what I'm feeling right now, too.
You also live in Philadelphia.
Yes,
area.
I do.
Like, that's, you're going to experience it. I have been, we've talked about it multiple times. I know this is a baseball podcast, but quick tangent on the Eagles. Like, it has become because I heard it after the Phillies, at the Phillies game, after we just won and took first place in the division over the Mets. And then I'm on the concourse. We just, like, it was, vibes were great. And all of a sudden, we're on the concourse, and all of a sudden, an Eagles chant starts. I'm like, are you serious? Like, I'm a season ticket holder for the Eagles. Like, I love the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But it has become too easy to be an Eagles fan, in my opinion. And you can call me whatever type of, you know, boomer, whatever it is. I don't care. That, there's a time and place for it, it being a fan. That, the Phillies being in first place after it was after Duran pitched his second save, like he was electric. Like the entire place erupted in the ninth inning when he came in. And then as soon as they won, it was almost like, all right, Phillies are done. Let's go back to being Eagles fans with it in the concourse. It's just too easy. Everyone is just a generic Eagles fan now. There's no like, I know there's probably a lot of diehards, but it's a cult. It really is. I have no problem saying that. It really is a cult with it. You don't get that with the Phillies. Even when the Phillies were in 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, and 12, when we had all those consecutive sellouts, it wasn't like a cult. It was just like everyone came together as being, it was a Phillies town for a little bit. With the Eagles, it's completely different. People go absolutely nuts for the Eagles, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Okay, before you say anything more about the Yankees, I have two questions for you. As this is a therapy session, I want to make sure that you get, you know, all the, you go through it all.
Okay, so doctor.
I have two questions for you. If you had to have one word to describe how this team makes you feel, one word, what would that be?
Disappointed, mm-hmm. I think. Because you talk about in the beginning of the season how we look at the American League and they are, it's not good. The American League is not good this year. You would think that after coming off winning the pennant that you should be, and taking out a couple extra pieces, you should be cruising along, and they were for the first couple months. But it's just the same stuff over and over again. And the other way I feel disappointed and depressed when I watch these games is the way they lose these games. They are 3-8 in extra inning games this year. Do you know how disheartening it is to just watch them lose in extras over and over again? And it's not just like, you know, oh, you know, they fought tooth and nail like a 5-5 game, and then, you know, it was just a great game. They just were on the bad end of it. The example, the Marlins game a couple weeks ago, they were up 6-0. And, you know, as we talk about in the podcast, I go to bed early. I'm like, oh, okay, I feel pretty good about this. I wake up the next morning and it's just a post about how they lost. I'm like, wait, they lost that game? And it was just not that they blew a 6-0 lead. They blew a 6-0 lead, like a 12-8 lead or a 12-7 lead or something like that. And they lost 13-12. And then the next game they lose 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, you score a lot of runs so your pitching can't hold up. And then the next game, you know, your pitching holds it down and they can't do anything with it. And it's disappointing, especially from a Yankees fan perspective. And I know it's a different perspective than most other fans, because if you're like a fan in Kansas City or a fan in Minnesota, one of these other cities, if you make the playoffs, it's like, oh, that's a good season. That's a successful year.
Yeah.
When it's the Yankees, it's World Series or bust. It's a championship. That's what you're aiming for every year. And now they just kind of become content with making the playoffs, getting to the World Series. Oh yeah, great. I don't think that's a winning attitude.
Yeah.
And the Yankees are not distinct for that anymore either. They gotta change things because the rest of baseball is catching up with them. Yeah. It's not a special thing to go to the Yankees anymore. It's like, oh, I could play for LA now. Yeah. I could go play for the Phillies even, you know.
Yeah.
It's just not all that special.
That leads me into my second question. And I don't really have these two questions for you. But if there was a practical change that you could do to this team right now for the rest of the season, what would you do?
Right now? It would be hard to say. I can't really say fire people because it's too late in the year, I think.
I know you can't bring Garrett Cole back from the IL. You can't do like all the injuries. Yeah. But like practical, like, does it mean like a lineup change or like, you know, certain pitchers don't pitch or yeah, like you DFA a certain player, something like that?
I think they just need to just get back to fundamentals, like go through practices and field ground balls and pop flies, you know. Try to maybe play a little more small ball and not rely on the home run so much, which is a classic Yankees problem of just hitting home runs and not getting a ton of other kinds of hits. That's what was the nice thing about bringing Jazz in, was that he was the kind of guy that stole a lot of bases, which is not really a thing for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
The culture needs to change. I don't think you fire Boone or anything like that right now. I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they miss the playoffs, I think he needs to go. But I don't know how much more they can do right now. There's not a lot of players out in the market they can go get.
Yeah.
Or trade for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know there's not a ton of change you can do right now. But I felt like it was something that, you know, with Volpe being a headache. I know recently he hasn't been much of a headache, like last week or two.
Mainly because of his bat.
Yeah.
His fielding, there's still problems there, but he's stepped up in terms of like hitting a lot of home runs.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's going to go back to what he was before. That's the thing with Volpe. He'll have flashes of, like, you know, doing great things, but he doesn't grow. He doesn't progress anywhere. And that's been the problem with Volpe the last couple of years.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for. Do you have any final thoughts before we change to my therapy session?
I think it's time to switch roles.
Gotcha. So for my therapy session, you know, the Phillies have been a little bit different story than the Yankees this year. We've been pretty good pretty much most of the year with it. A little ups and downs, but mostly hovering around first place for most of the year. There was a period where we were 4 games back of the Mets, I believe, maybe 4.5, and everything just seemed to be, everyone started to get a little bit antsy. But we were hot. We've been clicking a little bit pretty well for a little bit now. Up until, and I'll cover the trade deadline in a second, but everyone, after the Texas Rangers series last week, it seems like everyone was like, oh my God, this team is going to win the World Series. Like, everything is great. Like, that's all I heard about. It's like, oh, these are the Phillies that I've been wanting to see forever. All because we won 3 games against Texas. Like, we had, I can't remember who we played before, but we had won a couple series in a row. And it was vibes were high. We had just traded for Duran. I don't know exactly the proper pronunciation. I think it's Duran. And it's been fantastic with him. He had a little bit of scare in Washington. That was scary when he got hit with the ball. But we did not do enough for this team, for people to believe in this team. Everyone is so high up on Duran that it's so bad. Because they didn't do anything with the lineup. Nothing. They got Harrison Bader, Yankees, Mets legend, and now Phillies legend, Harrison Bader. He's not known for his bat. He's known for his glove. We didn't need another defensive player in the outfield. We didn't. What we needed was a game-changing bat in this lineup, because we're going to take the same lineup into the postseason, Lord willing, 3 years in a row. This will be the 3rd season. And you know what has happened the last 2 seasons with this offense? They've gone cold. Super cold. Incredibly frigid Arctic blast cold. And as soon as this Texas Rangers series this past week was what really got me going, because everyone's like, oh, like they came back and won. Like, this is the team that we believed in. And then they go and play Cincinnati and Washington. And they lose 4 straight. And then the first 3 games, they scored, the last 2 games of Cincinnati, scored 0 runs. 0 runs. And then they go to Washington, and they score 2 against one of the worst teams in the National League. 2 runs in 3 games after everyone was believing in this team. And I'm like, nothing has changed. I was texting my buddy Taylor, avid listener. He and I were like, yeah, wow, this is a great, like, this is a Phillies team I want to see. But we both were like, don't believe in them. We can't, there's, until they prove it in the playoffs, I cannot believe in this team. There's just no possible way this team can go into the playoffs with the same exact lineup 3 years in a row and say, oh, you know what, we'll get it this time. We'll get it this time. I mean, no, you can't. And then, of course, to add insult to injury, no pun intended, Zach Wheeler has a blood clot in his shoulder, and it says no time. There's no timetable yet. They can't TBD. He's gonna be done for the year. The season's over. The season is over. I don't care what anyone says when it comes to, oh, you know, they still have a lot of talent. Yeah, they have a lot of talent, but they have not put it together. They have wasted the last 3 years of this team with the amount of talent they have. They've wasted it because they haven't had the right chemistry or the right timing with everything. They had a great record last year. Then they faced the hottest team in baseball, the Mets, and they go completely silent. The only time they showed a little bit of fight was game two. Absolutely terrible. Everyone's like, oh, Duran's going to be great for the bullpen. Like, it's game changer. Yeah, he's great. I admit. That was one of the guys I wanted. I remember on the podcast, I wanted Buxton and Duran in the trade. I don't care who we had to give up. I wanted them. It was great. We got one of them. I'm happy about that. But in the postseason, he's literally just taking the place of Alvarado. So, and Alvarado's suspended. So, in reality, we're just going in with the same bullpen we started the year with, just Duran is replacing Alvarado. There's not added depth. David Robertson sucks. I don't care what anyone says. He's 40 years old. He throws 92 miles an hour right down the middle and hangs his curveball.
Yankees, Mets, and Phillies legend.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Yankees, Phillies, Mets legend, David Robertson. I never will see Romano, whatever he pronounces his name. He can get out of here. I don't want to see him pitch anymore in a Phillies uniform. Surprisingly, one of the highlights of the season has been Taijuan Walker. He has not upset me, and I'm going to watch my mouth. He has not upset me at all this year. He has been pretty dependable. He lost in Cincinnati, gave up 2 runs, but the offense didn't show up. And I said before, I said at the end of the last year, everyone was like, oh, the bullpen blew it and everything. No, the money is in the lineup, and this lineup has not delivered. As soon as Schwarber went cold this past week, everyone went cold. Every single person. It's terrible. There's nothing. It's so mind-boggling to hear people say, oh, the bullpen just needs to get it together and we'll be fine. You know, the offense will click. This offense hasn't clicked in 3 years. It's been the same thing. Trey Turner hasn't hit a home run at home this entire year. Harper's so hot and cold with his bat, and then you never know when he's going to have a little tweaked injury or have something. And he's battling through a wrist injury. Didn't know that for a while. He's been pretty consistent. There's nothing really to complain about Kyle Schwarber. We should have signed him at the beginning of this beginning of the season, but now he's going to cost $250 million as a DH. And that's what Philadelphia apparently needs, is another DH, because Harper and Turner aren't going to turn into DHs in 5-10 years with their contracts. So, and Aaron Nola came back, and I've been an Aaron Nola defender for a long time. He might be cooked. He might be. He's not worth that contract, I'll admit that. But I know a lot. The one thing, he didn't give up a home run. That was one thing on Sunday. He didn't give up a home run.
Yeah.
But a lot of his there was a lot of contact. It was not hard contact, but it was a lot of contact. Yeah. And I don't want to see that, especially with Wheeler going down. Ranger Suarez has been hot and cold. Like, he's been pretty cold recently. Christopher Sanchez has been the only, other than Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez has been the only consistent. Walker's been pretty good, but he's been, he hasn't complained about his role at all. He's gone out there, been in the bullpen, pitched. It's been great for Taijuan Walker. Bright spot. Ranger's been second half, is known for his stats dipping in the second half. Jesus Luzardo's, I don't know what I'm going to get out of him anymore.
Yeah, he's
inconsistent. I have no clue. I really was high on him at the beginning of the year, but he has been, ever since they've tipped his pitches, he tipped his pitches that one game, he has been pretty, I don't know what, no idea what I'm getting. So we lose Wheeler. We get Nola back. Andrew Painter could be coming up. I could see that as a possibility now that the rookie status could be moved on. But he's been inconsistent in the minors because they're having him work on certain pitches. Like, they're having him work on his breaking stuff more than his fastball. So he's been, I think he's had like a 5 or something ERA in AAA the last couple months. It's just been so frustrating to hear, like, I get aggravated when I hear fans talk about and get really high on this team, like, oh, this team's going to really do it this year or something like that, when nothing has changed. They went out and got Max Kepler in the offseason. That was their biggest acquisition. Max Kepler, everyone. He's the savior for this lineup who's gone cold. And he's hitting 196 or something like that. And then at the deadline, you're like, yeah, you know what? Let's go get another defensive outfielder with Harrison Bader. I have nothing against Max Kepler and Harrison Bader. I've liked them as players before. But they are not game-changing bats. They needed to go get Eugenio Suarez and move Harper out into the outfield. I don't care what anyone says. Harper can go out in the outfield and be a man. Castellanos can suck it up and play the bench. I don't care. This team wanted to win a World Series. They got to do some. They had to do some drastic changes, and they did nothing. All they did was trade a couple pieces for Duran and Harrison Bader. But that's not a needle mover, in my opinion, because they basically just replaced Alvarado, who was already a pretty good closer. Duran is probably a little bit better. I'll admit he's got filthy stuff. But they needed depth. They needed depth. There's nothing in the bullpen that is depth-wise. And same thing with the lineup. There's no game changers in the lineup anymore. Nick Castellanos has been hitting, is like one of the worst hitters since June 1st or something like that. And he's batting behind Harper. He was batting behind Harper for a while. No wonder Harper is struggling. Or Schwarber. I can't remember who it was. But
yeah.
So it has been super frustrating to watch this team because I just know it's going to happen again. They're going to make the playoffs. Everyone's going to be super high. Like, oh, the Phillies the Citizens Bank Park is great home field advantage for them. They've lost twice. They've lost the World Series. No, they didn't lose the World Series in Citizens Bank Park. But the home field advantage in Citizens Bank Park is a little overrated. Yeah, we are definitely crazy fans. I'll admit that. But if we're such crazy fans, this team should rally around that and get it done. But they didn't get it done. Especially in 2023 against the Diamondbacks. They needed to win one game in basically a game of two. They needed to win one game against the Diamondbacks coming back home. Should have been super easy. And they fell flat. Last year, fell flat.
Yeah.
Again this year, I promise you, they will fall flat. They will probably make the playoffs just because they have enough talent. I could see the Mets coming back just because they get momentum and Wheeler being down and the locker room basically being like, oh man, Wheeler's down. Oh, crap. Season's that vibe in that locker room has to be so low right now with Wheeler going out. Like everyone's like, oh, we have to step up and everything. But then there's no way that they believe that they can get it done. There's no way. Seeing how Castellanos is struggling and Wheeler going down, there's just no way I see them having the faith in themselves to get it done. If Harper was having an MVP season, maybe. But he's not. The best player in the lineup is Schwarber. Harper needs to be the best player in the lineup, and he hasn't been. He's been a little bit too inconsistent for me. This team is so frustrating to me. It's so frustrating for me.
And how does that make you feel, Michael?
Like if I had one word to describe this team, like how I asked you? Or
sure.
I think it's insane. I think that's my word because they're trying the same thing over and over again. What's the definition of insanity? It's trying the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. The third year in a row. Go get a bullpen piece. I know Duran's probably the best bullpen piece they've gotten, but same thing over again. Oh, we'll go get some bullpen pieces. We got Estevez the previous year. In the previous year, they got... I can't remember who they got in 2023. But they got some bullpen piece. I can't remember who it was. Oh, was it Kimbrel? No. Kimbrel was on the team. But they were like, oh, yeah, we got bullpen pieces. No. It's the same thing. It's the offense. They're going to fall flat again. Mm. Trying again and again with the same offense because there's so much money involved with it. And what's going to happen is they're going to fall flat. Schwarber's going to be gone. They're going to try to trade Castellanos. And then it's pretty much just going to be Harper and Turner in the lineup with Bohm because JT could be gone too. Like, my biggest fear, and I could see it. I see the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall with this. It could be a Sixers situation with the Phillies where they keep going to the playoffs and they just can't get over that hump and win the World Series. And then players change and they just don't have that fan base behind them as much anymore because you're losing me. I'm one of the biggest diehard Phillies fans, and I don't have faith in this team. You're not. I'm always going to watch. I'm always going to be loyal to the Phillies, no matter what. But I cannot believe in this team. And up until they win the World Series, I will not believe in this team.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. I think your team and my team has a similar issue going on here where there's complacency in the organization, and that's why they didn't make the moves that they necessarily need to make, because it's like, oh, we have Harper and Schwarber, and we have a great rotation. We don't need to do that much to improve. I mean, let's go back to Castellanos. He's had 9 hits in the month of August. We're at August 18th, by the way. And he's had 3 hits since August 6th. He has a 161 average with a 446 OPS. Now, to give you guys some context, once you get in the 600s range for OPS, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
When you get to 400 or in the 400s and you're a starting player, something's got to change. But they keep putting Castellanos out there.
Yeah. I don't. These are grown men.
Yeah, exactly.
These are grown men. They can suck it up. He's getting paid $20 million. They need to realize. I know, like, the more vibe these days as managers is to be like a player's manager and be like, oh, you know, we'll get through it. We're going to support him and stuff like that. There needs to be a fine line to be like, hey, you're struggling. Listen, you're a great player. Castellanos is a good player. He's a good player. He's been a great hitter for most of his career. But he's struggling right now, and we need to get you right. I need to take you out because you're hurting the lineup. He's a grown man. I don't care what his ego is. Get it right. If you want to win a World Series, get it right. I'm tired of all these egos getting in the way. I'm like, oh, no, I need to be in the lineup and stuff like that. It's just, it boggles my mind. If their main goal was to win a World Series, get the players right. I don't care if their feelings are hurt. He's going to get a contract. He's going to get the money is guaranteed. It's not the NFL if they bench him. He's going to get paid $20 million next year, whether he's on a different team or not. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think my outlook has reduced as well with Wheeler, because at least when Wheeler was in the rotation, I'm like, okay, Phillies may be, you know, here hit and miss, but they have Wheeler as a consistent presence in that rotation. He's the one player I feel like when I watch the Phillies, I can count on to do his job.
100%. Exactly. And he's not there.
And we don't know if he's even coming back this year. So if he doesn't come back, I think the Phillies are in trouble.
Oh, 100%.
Because you lose your ace.
Yep.
And sure, they have the other guys in rotation that we talked about. They're inconsistent.
Sanchez is the only one that I 100% trust right now. I trust Sanchez going out there. Like, okay, maybe not 100. I would say it's in the 90% that I trust him. He has proved everyone wrong with everything. And he's just always... I also like his fire. He has a little bit of fire in him. Because a lot of this team is just very, like, business-like. They all have families. They're all, like, suit and tie, like, doing their job. I'm going to show up, do my job. We're going to go home. Sanchez, there's been a couple times where he's gotten a strikeout in, like, the fourth or fifth inning after being a tough inning. And he is fist pumping, and he's fiery, and I like that. I appreciate business-like with Nola and Wheeler and Ranger. Like, I like that. I do. But this team needs a jolt.
Yeah.
And Sanchez hopefully can be that in the rotation and offer that, but there's no one in the lineup to do that. Sosa's the only one that I could see possibly doing that, but he doesn't play every day. Everyone loves Sosa. I love Mundo Sosa. I don't know one person who doesn't like Sosa. But, yes, I agree. Taking the only 100% consistent player that we can count on with Wheeler and taking him out, it just makes this team even shakier. I think the season's over, in my opinion. They could win a playoff series. Yeah, I could see it, but I don't believe in this team. There's no way I believe in this team to make it to the World Series nor win it. No way. You couldn't pay me enough money to believe in this team. You could pay me $1 million. I still would be like, yeah, no, there's still no way. I don't care. There's no way this team could win the World Series.
I don't know. $1 million. I would take that.
I could take it. I'm still not changing my my thought process. 100%. Like, there's no way. You can't.
I guess if there was a possibility for them to change something, to go back to the question that you asked me, if you could change something about this team right now, what would it be?
I'm benching Castellanos. I'm probably cutting Kepler and bringing up Crawford. I don't care if you know, Crawford's been, I think he's been pretty good in AAA. I haven't looked at his stats in the last couple weeks because I think he's been battling, no, he hasn't been battling injury. That was early in the year. They need a jolt in the offense of something. I don't care if Crawford needs to be up here in some form, even if it's just he needs to play every day and Castellanos can fill in every so often. Like, that just needs to happen. Kepler can get DFA'd. I know they got brought up, they traded Hader and they sent down Rojas. So, like, they probably would bring up Rojas if they had to with it. But I just need something different from this team with it. Harrison Bader is perfectly fine. Like, he's a great player. He's a fun player. But he's not what this team needed. They needed some fire with it. They need some youth. They're old. They're all 30 and up except for Bowman Stott. And they're, like, 27, 28. It's... Crawford should, if I had to do one thing, or if there was something I had to do, I would bench Castellanos for now. I think that he needs to be playing soon, but he needs to be benched right now. Bring up Crawford, DFA, Kepler. There we go. That's what I would do. That's maybe not the most practical situation, but it's Crawford's a lefty bat, Kepler's a lefty bat. That works out. Castellanos gets set. It's fine. Perfect. Then you platoon Marsh, and it's just so frustrating. Oh, my God.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to me, Michael?
No. There's been there's so much this team. I think it's just what gets me going is how all the fans are like, oh, no, this team's going to get pushed through. We have so much talent with it. Like, just hearing all that. I'm just like, what, are you serious? Like, stop it. Like, as soon as they lose again, this team's going to be a Sixer situation. And the fans are going to be like, well, yeah, they'll be fine in the regular season, but they're not going to get it done in the playoffs. And the vibe is going to shift. This is the last straw for that before it starts going down the Sixers situation. No one cares about the Sixers anymore. 2-3 years ago, everyone was like, yeah, like, Sixers are in the there's a chance. You know, if Embiid's healthy, it's all that matters. No one ever believes in the Sixers anymore. And that's what's going to happen because Harper's going to get older. Turner's going to be older. Wheeler, I don't know what's going to happen with Wheeler now. I heard the surgery and everything went fine, whatever it is, to remove the blood clot. But there was a pitcher for the Rockies back in 2019 this happened to, and he didn't pitch till the following season. Now, I don't know if that includes the postseason because the Rockies definitely were not in the postseason in 2019. Were they? No. No, there's no way. This is a poverty franchise. So, yeah. I don't have anything else more to say. I don't believe in this team. I think the season's over because our goal is to win the World Series, and there's no way this team is doing it without Zach Wheeler and the way this offense is going.
Well, I appreciate you expressing your feelings to me, my dear client.
Oh, I'm a client?
Yeah, it's a therapy session.
I'm not paying you.
Well, why'd you sign all those papers for?
I didn't sign any papers. Well, he's lying. I didn't sign any papers.
Well,
you think I can sign
in
something?
In my professional opinion, you can't sign anything?
No, absolutely not.
You don't know how to sign?
I actually, side tangent, speaking of signing, I had to drop something off at UPS this morning, and they do, like, you know how you use your finger to sign on the touchscreen and everything? Mm-hmm. I wonder if anyone's ever perfected their signature on that. Because there's no way that anyone spends time actually doing that. No one uses their finger to sign their signature except on the touchscreen. And when I do it, I just squiggle a line. No, there's no way I've tried to perfect my signature because it's gone forever. Yeah. Well, no, it's not. It's digitally there, but I don't see it anymore.
No. Well, my professional opinion, it seems like the Philadelphia Phillies have caused you a lot of mental distress. I'm glad to see that your obsessive love disorder with Aaron Nola is coming to an end.
Yeah.
And I think we'll need future sessions. Now that'll be a $700 copay.
$700 copay?
Yeah. What insurance do you have?
No, I'm not paying that.
Then you'll be hearing from my lawyer.
You don't have a lawyer.
That's what you think.
You don't have a lawyer.
Yes, I do.
You have a lawyer?
I have connections.
That's not the same. It's a liar. We're not doing a hot take because we had a therapy session because there's a lot of heavy stuff. All right. Let us know what your thoughts are on the Phillies and Yankees and whether or not our thoughts and venting was, I don't know what the proper word is, correct or rational with it? Or are we being
rational?
Are we being irrational with our therapy sessions of our team? I'm probably the one that would get called more irrational because my team's in first place right now and I'm calling the season's over. That's probably what I would probably get called for. But let me know your thoughts on whether or not the thoughts, opinions of our therapy sessions were rational. So let us know. You done?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think we got enough content. We hope to get another podcast out sooner. Our lives have been nuts. We apologize because I know some people have asked me directly, like, hey, when's the next podcast coming? And our schedules have just not aligned, and it's just a lot of stuff has happened.
Indeed.
We're going to try, hopefully get one soon. I can't promise any dates, but hopefully we will not have to wait as long for the next one. So
well, no guarantees, first of all.
Yeah, there's no guarantees. No way.
But second of all, I would like to dedicate this podcast to my grandmother, who went home to be with the Lord within the last week. She was a big influence in my life, but also a big baseball fan. I have a lot of fond memories going to games with her, watching Yankees games, talking about baseball, and she will be missed. So hats off to you, Grandma.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that. So, all right, let's end our therapy session right there. So, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Talk to you soon.